district conference. It's like time is going so fast. I was able to meet this precious family, the Nash family, and Brother Linder, our district foreign missions director, asked him if he was going to go somewhere to get something. He said, yes. Yeah. He said, I've got some missionaries with me. Let's all go together. I said, That's great. Let's do it. And so it wasn't long that we realized that we were connected through family for years. And then some of you here are even connected with them through where you went to church previously. And so we had a great opportunity to get acquainted with them. I've known his brother Brad for years. And we got acquainted. And they told their story, and it was a little overwhelming. You know, you think you're living a life of sacrifice, and then you talk to somebody else, and you feel like, I'm not doing anything. I'm not sacrificing anything. And so maybe they'll share a little bit about their background and where they come from and what they're doing and what they have given up to do that. But this is a great family, and I'm so privileged to get a chance to meet them and have them come. And so we are blessed to have them. So I told him to take his liberty, whatever they want to do as a family. He said that she'll probably go ahead and preach. No, he didn't say that. I just want to get a reaction out of her. Anyway, but they're going to come. Let's make them feel welcome as they come. Brother and Sister Nash.
Let's give that unto the Lord today. He's worthy. We were talking about the name that's above every other name. He alone is worthy of all the glory, honor, and praise. I'm so thankful to be in the presence of the Almighty God on a Sunday afternoon. I know He's here today, because the Word of God says when two or three are gathered together in His name. And I was just talking to one of my brothers today. Actually, I found two people today living or lived in my neighborhood where I grew up, not too far away from here. I grew up in Grove City, and I would joke all the time. I make fun of Grove City because I'm from Grove City, and I'm allowed to make fun of it. So I can count two or three on one hand, so I don't have to take off my shoes or socks to figure out how to count to two or three. But I'm excited for what God is going to do on a Sunday afternoon on the west side of Columbus. You know what's amazing? Like I said, I grew up, I don't know, maybe it's about 15 minutes away. To Stone Ridge, about 15 minutes away. Man, these are my stomping grounds. But you know what? I'm excited that there's a lighthouse still in the city limits of Columbus, Ohio. We need a church in the city where the people are that have needs that we can minister to. It's nothing that we have, but it's what God has done for us by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And I'm excited for what God is going to do this afternoon. You may be seated today. I'm so honored by your pastor to allow us to come and minister at this beautiful church. He's wearing so many hats these days. He probably doesn't know whether he's coming or going. I couldn't imagine pastoring at two different churches. My problem these days, I don't know where I'm going next, but God knows. And if he's already going before us, that's all we needed to know. I'm blessed. I say this. Now, if you're married, you should say you're blessed with the best wife. But I truly do have the best wife. The Bible said he had found a wife, has found a good thing, and has obtained favor from the Lord. I have favor because I have a wife, and I'm so blessed. Nothing else I did except ask her to marry me. And she said, thankfully, she said yes. And I say she's a perfect wife, and the only thing, the mistake she's made is saying yes to marrying me. But I would ask her to come. We are from, she's not from here. She's from a little town called Clam Gulch, Alaska. And she's an Alaskan girl, moved to Alexandria, Louisiana. I found her there, stole her from Brother Mangan's church. Thankfully, I got it out of there with my hair and everything intact. But she had been a pediatric nurse practitioner. She's spoken over five different continents internationally for her work. She helps take care of kids and change the quality of their life. She's written a medical book. But that's not why we're here tonight. We prayed a prayer together. I don't want to steal her testimony, but we prayed a prayer. Back in 2017, we said, God, we'll do anything you want us to do. We'll go anywhere you want us to go. Whether that's turning away our good paying jobs. I worked in the oil and gas industry. I had a construction business. We were living good. But you know what? If Jesus Christ be God and died upon the cross for us, there is no sacrifice too great for us to make for him. He paid the ultimate price for us. And what you can't take money with you. You can't take things with you. You never see a U-Haul fall on a hearse. I'd rather put up my treasures in eternal things where I could reach souls and lives and God could do the work in their lives. But I'm so thankful for my wife and the sacrifices she's made. And I would just let her testify today. She did start out preaching me, Pastor. So when you said a couple weeks ago we were at I'm trying to think where we were at, just a few miles away in Galloway, she started preaching. I'm like, my goodness, you should have finished. I wouldn't have had to preach, but she's not submitted to me to preach yet, so we're praying for her. No, but she can share whatever's on her heart today.
Oh, my goodness. Praise the Lord. Oh, this man. I am blessed. I am blessed. No, truly, we are. We're blessed. We're blessed to have each other. We're blessed to be on this crazy journey he's brought us on. I give honor to your pastor and pastor's wife. Just such sweet people, and we do feel very privileged to have met them and have made a connection with them this year. Because we're Ohioans, so here we are. Yay, Buckeyes, right? Yeah, OH, yes. I am a transplant, but I did go to grad school at Ohio State, so I joke that I'm actually more of a Buckeye than he is, because he didn't graduate from Ohio State. Oh. Anyway, so yeah, so God wrecked our world, yeah, about 7 years ago, just flipped it upside down. We do talk about the scariest prayer you can ever pray is, God, I'll go anywhere, I'll do anything. And we meant it, and he took us seriously. And we did. We thought maybe, Pastor, it would be a home Bible study. It would be another prayer group in our house. You know, we were on church staff at Turnpoint Apostolic in Grove 4. That's our home church, running a construction company. I worked for Nationwide Children's Hospital. I mean, it looked good, right? 3 kids, all the things. And God said, missions. And he'd actually called my husband to missions in Bible school, but he was not a fan of that in his younger years and never told me. We were married almost 10 years by the point when God called us to missions. And he was scared to tell me because of this life that we had built together. But I had such a burden on my heart for missions as well. So once he told me, we just said, okay. And then it was like, all right, now what? You know, sometimes God gives you the whole picture, but sometimes he only gives you one step. And that's all we've gotten this entire journey is one step at a time. And we ended up in Africa. We were rescued by the U.S. government in the middle of COVID. And we said, yes, this is amazing. Let's go on another missions trip. And we landed in Fiji in the South Pacific for a couple years, a great, you know, revival church there. We learned so much, but we found out that there is an unreached nation in the South Pacific that's never had a United Pentecostal church. Of over the 200 plus nations that our organization is in, we've never reached the nation of French Polynesia. And our hearts just crumbled when we heard that. We couldn't believe all these other churches in the South Pacific are strong. They've been there 50 plus years. I mean, in Fiji alone, there's only a million people that live in Fiji and over 10,000 constituents. Can you imagine? I mean, in Columbus alone, we've got over 2 million, right? Imagine if we had 80 churches. That's what they have there, 80 churches in Fiji. Imagine if we had 80 churches in Columbus. They're strong, strong churches. And here, just sitting out there right next to them is this unreached nation. And so we just felt the burden to go. And we still have no idea how we're going to raise this budget, because it's not cheap to live there, obviously. And we have no idea how to plant a church in the middle of the ocean. But we're going to just keep taking one step at a time. I want to encourage somebody today. If God's asking you to take just one step towards Him, just one step towards doing something more for Him, go, do, march, jump, run. It's the best life you'll ever live, is being in His will. There's nothing better, no amount of money, no job, no position, no title, that's worth not doing what He wants you to do, what you were created to do in this life. We're so excited to see Him move. We're so excited to unlock this unreached nation. Pray for us and our kids, although we've also ripped out of what they thought were pretty decent lives here in the States. We have a 15-year-old, a 12-year-old, and a 3-year-old. So as you can imagine, there's ups and downs with that. But it's all worth it. Thank you so much for having us. God bless you all.
She's more than my better half. She is my better 3/4, my better 7/8. She is truly, I hold the microphone more than she does, but I wouldn't want to do ministry or life without her, so I'm very blessed with her today. I believe, I don't know, I want to ask the multimedia. It's a multimedia team, they don't have it ready. It's my fault, but do you guys have the video ready? All right, we're going to go ahead and play a short video for you this afternoon, and then we'll get...
Hello, I'm Matthew Nash, and this is Annalisa Nash, and we're missionaries to French Polynesia. French Polynesia is made up of over 117 islands, and 75 islands are habited with over 311,000 people. This unreached nation by the United Pentecostal Church International is looking for a missionary to go, so we decided to take up the call. We would be based out of Papeete, the capital city of French Polynesia. This nation island has not been reached by the United Pentecostal Church International yet. In Acts 1:8, it talks about sharing the gospel, and that God has given us power to reach the uttermost parts of the earth. French Polynesia is literally 11,500 miles away from Jerusalem. It is the uttermost part of the earth.
We often wonder, why was it that nobody has gone to this unreached nation that's in the middle of the Pacific Ocean? And we were blessed to go and take a visit to French Polynesia earlier this year, and we were worried what we were going to encounter. Why was it that nobody has gone? And what we found was a beautiful people that is hungry for the Word of God. They're hungry for a move of the Spirit, and they are wanting nothing more than to learn more about what He has and what is in store for them in following the Word of God and learning the gospel. We're so excited, and we can't wait. God has continued to provide for us. He's continued to make a way. He's continued to open doors. When we were able to make a trip there, God solidified that calling. When we were walking off the airplane, we grabbed hands and we said, in Jesus' name, we are claiming that nation for Him. We are claiming those 311,000 souls. We know that He's called us. We don't feel able. We don't feel capable. We don't even know why it is He chose us, but we're willing to go, and we can't wait to be there.
While we were there, we had the pleasure of baptizing 2 people in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. We look forward to seeing revival throughout these islands and to be able to minister to them in word and in deed, allowing God to give us the strength and the power to reach this great nation. God had started calling us, and sometimes we doubt and have different questions in our mind whether we're going to the right place or not. And one day in prayer, I asked God, I said, I need a word from you. I need a confirmation. And I often don't do that, but, you know, I started doubting. I didn't know who else to turn to but to the Lord. And I started praying. And all of a sudden, I heard an audible voice. It was one of my Bible school students in Fiji. And he said, God, send someone to these unreached nations. Send someone to French Polynesia. God started tugging on my heart. He said, this is my voice. God, use someone else to speak into my life. And I started crying and said, God, I won't doubt you. I will go and I'll respond to the calling that you have put upon our heart.
And we are so excited to go, but we are needing help. We are needing help to get to this nation. So we're hoping that you would partner with us, that you would pray for us, and that you would help us to get to these people to share the gospel with them.
Some give by going, and others go by giving, but all are going. We thank you for your prayers, love, and support, and we look forward to taking you on this journey with us. God bless you all. We're Matthew and Annalisa Nash, and we're your missionaries to French Polynesia.
As some of you have seen some photos, it's common for us to hear that how beautiful it is. And I struggled with the beauty of the nation. I know many people will look at those places, and if I told you the island that we were staying on, usually we don't even say the island that we are going to stay on, but it's Tahiti. I was being made fun of or picked on, Pastor, at a missions meeting at conference, and they were like, they're talking about how beautiful it is. And I joked around and said, I'm going to change the name of Tahiti to Tahiti, so then people will think that I'm going to Haiti rather than, but you know what? God spoke to me. He speaks to me in a different way. And I said, God, how am I going to express what you're calling on our lives to those? And many of you might not know it. I like to catch fish, but I don't like to eat fish. I like the sound of the ocean, but I don't like the sand. I like the idea of being warm, especially in December, January, and February, but I don't like sweating until my clothes are sweated through a couple times. But God has a sense of humor, and he puts you in places where you don't depend on your own comforts, but the comforts of him. And he spoke to me and he said, you know what? He said, it doesn't matter where you want to go. It doesn't matter where other people's want to go. He said, whether you go somewhere where everyone wants to go or if you go somewhere where no one wants to go, they all deserve to hear the gospel. I don't know what mission field or the area of town or the people that you come in contact with, which would be your mission field and your friends and your family or your coworkers, but they deserve to hear the gospel. God has put you in their lives for a reason. It's not just by accident, but God does all things well. And that's why God is sending us. I don't know why, but he's sending us to reach this unreached nation. I don't know why it has not been reached, but I do know that it has to be reached. Because in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, it says, and after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. If every nation, tribe, language are going to be reached, then we have to reach every tribe, nation, and tongue. We have to do our job and do our part in ever to have this prophecy be fulfilled in the Word of God. And I believe it's in the Word of God that every word is true, and that it's going to come to pass. I don't know how every word is going to come to pass. I don't know when. I don't have the abilities or the knowledge, but I know and I can trust in God that he is able and he will do it. But I'm excited because in Romans chapter 10, it tells us this is how we're going to do it. It says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? We've got to be sent. We are sent. We are your missionaries. We are your arm. We're the extension of this church and this body and this organization. And we're going to do what God wants to do. But God, he's going to do a quick work. It doesn't take a rocket scientist, and I'm not the best grades. I would be embarrassed of my GPA in high school, but it doesn't take a rocket science to tell that 25 years ago when I was in high school that this world has drastically changed, and where good has now become evil and evil has now become good. I'm telling you, these are prophecies in the Word of God. It's telling you the time is coming close to His reappearing, and He's coming back for a church, and we've got to reach and save as many of those that we can to do our part. He's not going to ask you to do something that's hard, but each of us, God has done something in our lives. And God wants to use you. He wants to use me. He wants us to be able to reach. Just think, if we could reach one person, just one person, this church would double. One person. I know it sounds crazy. You don't have to do anything but love on people. Show the love of God. No one cares how much you know. You say, I don't know the doctrine. I don't know. You know what everyone knows? They know love. They know a genuine heart. They know if you're caring. If you're just doing it just for fun or because you have to, they can tell. Pastor told me to invite someone to come to church. I need you to, will you come to church with me today? No. I said, you know, I would love for you to come to church with me. And maybe after church, maybe we can whip up some food at the house or maybe we can go get coffee afterwards and we can just talk about them. I don't know what you're able to do, but you can start to show love. And then when you show love, why is that important? God is love. You don't have to know all the doctrine. You can just show them love. And people are attracted to love. There's a broken, hurting world out here that needs the love of God. And that's something that each and every one of us should have and do have. And I believe that God wants to do a great work here in Columbus. I have some slides. If we go to maybe slide number 3, if we have it. But I had the opportunity to serve in Fiji for about 2 years. And I had a chance to go to another island. It's called the Garden Island. It's called Taibayuni. And in a marriage seminar, 3 people received the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you haven't received the gift of the Holy Ghost yet, I'm telling you, there's no better gift, a free gift, that God is giving out and pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh. I would tell you that gift's for you. But if you're married, I'm telling you, in a marriage seminar, you, your spouse, and God is a 3-strong cord that's not easily broken. There's nothing more important than to be filled with your Spirit. But then we had the opportunity the Sunday night, we had a evangelistic service, and I believe 18 were baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. There is no other name given among men by where we must be saved, but through the name of Jesus Christ. That's our name. We sung about it. We talked about it. And then we had another 48 people receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If God can do it over in a small little island of Taibayuni, He can do it in a metro, He can do it in Metro Columbus today. He's no respecter of persons. If He did it for them, He can do it for us. His power hasn't changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whatever it can be done before, He can do it again. I can see God could do a quick work in these last days. It's amazing to see what God is doing in these days. If we go to the next slide, I had an opportunity to go to a town called Latoka. And Latoka, this guy's name is Brother Sala. Brother Sala and about 7 of his friends came to a church service. They didn't know that this big, tall, white man was going to go preach. But they showed up and they listened. And he came to an altar and he would start praying. Later on, I find out this guy is a rugby player. He was trying to become an Olympic player and going after these things to get him out of poverty. He thought this was the way out. And he was coming, but he came to an altar, started praying and seeking after the Holy Ghost. And God just spoke to me. He said, ask him, has he been baptized in Jesus' name yet? And I'm talking to Brother Sala, and I said, hey, have you been baptized in Jesus' name? He said, no. And I started telling him some scriptures, John chapter 3, verse 5. And I told him how he must be born again of the water and of the Spirit in order to inherit the kingdom of God. And I shared it with Acts 2:38, and I talked about how he needs to be baptized, repent of his sins, and be baptized in Jesus' name, and he shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And, you know, we were able to baptize him because I asked a simple question. Someone might be out, you might come to the altar, they haven't got baptized yet, there's a simple question you could ask him. What would stop you from being baptized tonight? You know what he looked at me and said, Pastor, I wasn't going to get baptized, but I want to get baptized tonight. And we buried him in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. The next week I got word back from at the Bible school where I worked at that he was filled with the Holy Ghost and that his mom started coming to the church and his brother came to church and they were baptized in Jesus' name. A year later I come back and that's me and Brother Sala, he's taking up the offering. He's praying for those in the altars. He's doing whatever his pastor asks him to do. I believe what the enemy thought he was going to use him for worldly things and for some other monetary gain, that God can turn his life around and use him for a kingdom-minded, that God could use him greater facets, that he could start to preach the good, acceptable year of the Lord, that he could start to reach people that I could not reach. I believe that that's what God is doing, and he's using people that we don't expect for him to reach. If we go to the next slide, we had an opportunity to be Bible school teachers. These are some of my Bible school students. And there's some rough ones around here. And I have a guy that used to plant a kava farm under one arm, an alcoholic in the other arm. And I got a guy that was in the psychiatric hospital, drug dealers. Had some drunks. I had some that were physically and emotionally abused in their life. But God is using them. The Bible says, and such were some of you. Such was I. So some of those things in our life that held us back, and people would say, oh, there's no way that they could use Brother Nash. There's no way that they could use this person or that person. God doesn't need the clarification. God doesn't need the okay on decide on who he can use and who he can't. I remember I heard this story just a little bit ago, and they were talking about Matthew in the Bible, and all of the new disciples were talking like, they called Matthew? The guy that sat at the seat of custom and started taking their money. But God, he will use whoever he deems necessary to fulfill his will. One of my students, he was a drunk, and he was a young guy. He was under the age, but he's under my arm on the right side, and he was up there, and his name's Brother Noah. And Brother Noah, he was walking around the bus stop drunk one morning, and some backslidden Pentecostal said, you need to get to the Pentecostal church. God can use a backslider to tell you where to go. And he told this young man, and this man gets his life cleaned up. He gets baptized in Jesus' name. He gets filled with the Holy Ghost, comes to Bible school. But he didn't just learn for himself. He started learning for his family. He started sharing the things that he was learning in Bible school at home. And he started sharing them. And I heard I had these Bible studies and how many people. And there's like, oh, Brother Noah's been reaching people in his family. I was like, so I asked Brother Noah, how many people have you reached in your family? Conservatively, how many? He said, over 30, Pastor. 30. I'm telling you, do you remember that feeling of first receiving that first Holy Ghost and fire? How you thought you could attack hell with a water pistol? And you're like, oh, nothing's going to stop me from reaching people out of the lake of fire. They need to hear what I have to say. They need to hear about the salvation of Christ. And God, if he can do it in his life, we can reach family members that are not safe. Neighbors that are not here yet. We can even reach those that used to be here to come back into the house of God. God's arm is not too short where he cannot reach them. But he is moved by our infirmities, and he's moved by our needs today. Our next slide, it's just because you're doing everything right. Some people fall out of the church because storms come their way. Some people, when the storms in life come your way, and you're like, oh, but I'm doing everything right. I've been coming to church. I've been giving. I've been praying. I even sang that one song I didn't even know about. You know, little Nora, she got herself in a problem. She got her finger behind a solid wood door, and her fingertip was almost completely severed off of her hand, and just a fingerprint was holding the hand together. And my wife looks over to me and she says, we need to go to a hospital. And I look at her very calmly. I said, you are the hospital. she's a nurse practitioner, pediatric nurse practitioner. I said, there's no one that's going to be able to help us more than you. She said, no, we really need to go to a hospital. So I did what every good man would do. I said, you go with the other missionary. She's a nurse. And you guys go to the hospital. That way I make sure I don't faint. And I will take care of the older kids and we'll be okay. And so they went to the hospital. The first hospital they showed up, they said, we don't have a doctor today. Could you imagine going to a hospital? I said, I'm sorry, you're going to have to go to another hospital. We don't have any doctors here to see you. And so they go to another hospital and they go talk to them. And she sees this man. He's probably over 500 pounds. He has no shoes on, no socks on. And he's sitting in a chair, and you have to bring the patient to him. And I'm assuming right about then, my wife was probably thinking she was the hospital again, and maybe this was a bad idea because she told me that she calls Nationwide Children's Hospital up. And she just kind of act like she was still working there, and she calls them up and says, hey, this is Annalisa Nash, pediatric nurse practitioner, colorectal and pelvic reconstruction. Can I talk to the pediatric hand surgeon on call? And they were like, yes, Miss Nash, we'll send you right over. And so she gets over and she's talking to this lady and she's telling the story about what happened to her hand. And the hand surgeon says, you're in Fiji? She's like, yes, I'm in Fiji. She's like, well, she said, 90% of these heal miraculously on their own. And my wife just says, in Jesus' name. And that hand surgeon said, what? Okay, well, if you do this, this, and this, and tells her the steps And she said, let me know if you need anything else. And she tells the doctor there, and she's like, well, this pediatric hand surgeon told me to do this. And it's like, well, we don't have any pediatric hand surgeons here in Fiji, so we'll just go with her recommendation. And so we started working on it. But, when you're in the storms of your life, the enemy starts getting real loud. He'll start telling you all kinds of things. I remember because this is my baby girl, and everyone loves Nora. And if you get to meet her after service, she's probably going to be a handful because she hasn't had a nap. But she's a go, 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 and it's so much personality. But, I started hearing, voices that weren't even there. And like, what is your mom going to say? Oh, you deformed your child. You maimed your child. You thought you were called of God, and this is what's happening? God wouldn't do that. You're losing your mind. What are you doing over there? And I'm being attacked, and I feel like my walls are caving in. So I lead up prayer at the Bible school every morning before class, and I'm just praying. I said, God, I need a word from you. I need to make sure that I'm not losing my mind, that I'm doing what you've called me to do. It's just not my will, but it's what you've called me to do. And God just told me, and there's a story in the Bible that talks about how God put the bones back together at the Valley of Dry Bones. And he told me, if I can put the bones back there together, I can put a little fingertip on a baby girl. I said, okay, God, that's the word I need today. I'm going to stand upon that word. I don't have anything else, but I'm going to stand on your word. And I started believing, and I started trusting that God was going to do what he said he was going to do. And it took some time because it was over 2 weeks. We couldn't see it. And to come on Sunday before we unwrapped the hand, and God said, I want you to preach to the church on faith. I said, on faith? I said, I could preach on faith next week when I see the hand. That's our flesh. You're like, I'm going to be able to preach the house down. But if you know what faith is a substance of things hoped for. And as you look in that hand, that mitten, I can't see nothing. It's all hope. Evidence of things not seen. So he said, I want you to preach, and I want you to believe that healing, that word that I gave you is true, that it's going to come to pass. And somewhere in the message, I started preaching, started declaring that my baby girl was going to be all right, that God was healing her, that he was going to put that finger back together. And I don't even know how it tied in my message, to be honest with you. I just remember saying that in the middle of the message. And that Tuesday or Wednesday, we unwrapped that hand and that finger was back together. God can do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond anything you could think or ask. Sometimes I'll say, oh, I've seen this happen. I've seen this happen. But I'm telling you, God can do above that. We limit God too much, too often. Say, oh, I've never seen that happen before. I don't know if God can do it. I'm telling you, he can. I can talk about my car, and I didn't have a car. I sold my cars. I don't know what I was thinking, but I sold both my cars before I went to Fiji. They're getting old. They're paid off. Thank you, Jesus. And now I'm like, oh, my goodness, I have to buy a car. I don't want a car payment. And I'm trying to figure out what to do. And I didn't have enough money to buy a car. But I was going to figure it out because I needed a car to get in deputation. I've traveled over, I think, close to 15,000 miles just in deputation travels since July. And I've been everywhere, I feel like. And I said, God, I need a car. And I hear a guy, he's getting ready to go back over to Malaysia. And he had a car that was nice. He has a big family. I'm like, man, I should ask him if I can buy his car from him. And I said, hey, can I buy your car? He's like, no. He said, actually, someone gave me this car. And I have to give it back to him when I'm done with it. I'm like, what? God has a dealership out here that I don't know about? I need to find God's dealership. I need someone to give me a car. You know, I was like, I mean, if he gave him a car, why can't he give me a car? And if I preach about it and I say that God can do it, then I say, well, I might as well pray about it. So you know what? I went to my room. My wife didn't even know. I went to my room and I just sat on the edge of my bed. I said, God, if you can give Brother Rodriguez a car, why don't you give me a car? Why don't you just show off and just, you know, give me a brand new car? You know, I figured if I'm asking for a car, what's going to hurt to ask for a brand new one, you know? Make my petitions known unto God. So I was being specific. Sometimes we don't get what we want because we're not specific. So hey, why not? What's the worst case scenario? He just gives me a car. Has anyone ever borrowed a car from anyone? Well, I was borrowing cars and guess what? Every person I've ever borrowed a car from, they always say they want their car back. And lo and behold, this happened again, that they wanted their car back. So I said, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. So I asked my friends and family, I said, hey, can I have one more week? Just one more week. They're like, yeah, we'll give you a week. I go to a dealership and I was on the north side of town. I was getting ready to buy a car. I thought it was the perfect car. It was the same car, but it was used. It looks similar to the one I tried to buy from the person before. And I was like, lowest mileage, it's the cheapest price in all the state. I needed something dependable, and it was in my price range. So I go there, and I find it, and I say, hey, my wife looks over and says, I got an eye appointment today. I said, hey, salesman, can I come back? My wife has an eye appointment. He's like, take the car with you. And I'm like, okay, God. So we take the car, and if you ever been to an eye appointment shouldn't take 2 hours and 45 minutes for an eye appointment. And my wife was trying to break records or something because we were in an eye appointment for 2 hours and 45 minutes, and I'm thinking I'm going to be on the Columbus Dispatch, missionary arrested for stealing car. So we run back. I'm saying, I'm so sorry. He's like, oh, don't worry about it. He said, which car do you want? I said, I want this one. He's like, okay, I'll get it cleaned up. And I believe that the timing had to work perfectly, how God works things out. Because as he's cleaning up this car, what I thought was an inconvenience of 2.5 hours or almost 3 hours long in eye appointments and travel time to and from this place, that I get a telephone call as he's cleaning up this car. It was a friend of mine. I didn't even recognize the number. I'm glad I answered that call. I don't know how many times that I don't answer calls. Now I just answer every single one of them. This is the First Pentecostal Church of French Polynesia. How can I help you? And if they know me, they'll talk to me. If they don't, then they're going to hang up on me. And it works every time. And so I answer the telephone and said, hello. My friend said, hey, bro, what's going on? You want to hang out? I was like, man, I'm trying on the north side of town trying to buy a car. He's like, can you get out of it? I'm like, it's a great deal. They already did the hard credit check. They said they don't even check my income because my credit was good enough. And he's like, well, walk away. I'm like, to hang out with you tonight? I don't get it. I need a car. You don't understand. People are asking me to get for their cars back. He's like, well, I didn't want to do it this way, but I've already talked to my wife and we want to buy you a brand new car. I'm telling you, God can do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all that you can think or ask today. Just because you haven't seen it with your own eyes, just because God hasn't done it yet in your life, doesn't mean he can't. The Bible says, is there anything too hard for God? No, nothing. And I hate to say this, but 2 days later, I had forgotten that I prayed and asked for a car, but God just reminded me, almost put a flashback in my brain. I started crying. I said, God, I'm so sorry. I thank you. I'll give you the glory. I'll give you the honor. Wherever I can share your word or your testimony, I'll share about the goodness of God. And then I wanted to share with someone else. Well, my friend said, I can't share it with anyone. So that he knew or he was associated with us, I said, oh, the guy that got the free car, he'd be happy for me. So I call him up. I tell him the whole story. And I was like, bro, I got this brand new minivan. And it wasn't the base model or anything. It was nice. And I said, brand new. I only had 9 miles on it. He said, brand new. I said, brand spanking new. He said, well, my car was used. I'm telling you, what I said before, exceedingly abundantly above. I mean, like I said before, don't limit what God can do in your life today. I'm going to talk about a story here in a few moments about something that had never had been done before. Up to this point, and if you turn with me in Mark chapter 5, it's a story about a lady. It calls her a certain lady. In Mark chapter 5, verse 27, she does something that's never been done before. Had no precedent. It's easy to believe for things that you've seen happen before. It's easy for you to believe in things that you know your friends have experienced or someone was blessed with a raise or a job or being healed of a sickness. But it's sometimes it's hard to believe in stuff that has never been done before. But in Mark chapter 5, verse 27, it says, and when she had heard of Jesus, came in and pressed behind and touched his garment. I don't even know what she was thinking. I bet you all the other people didn't know what she was doing. Why in the world is she coming and touching his garment? She decided, she had enough faith and to believe for something that had not been done yet. I remember that old song. I know I don't look old enough, but I was raised with my grandparents, and they sang this old song, reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You will find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment your needs to supply. So reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Often we come into the house of God and we need something. It's okay to have needs. It's okay to have need of this lady. She had a need. But sometimes we say, I need Pastor Pelham to pray for me. I need someone in the prayer team can pray for me. And I need someone to lay the elders of the church to get oil and to lay their hand upon my head and pray for me. And that's okay. But that's not what I saw this lady do. She didn't wait till Jesus prayed for her. She went to Jesus directly. She did something that never had been done before. She decided to go after what she needed in that very moment. At the beginning of this scripture, we see they call this a certain woman. She doesn't have a name. She doesn't have a title. It doesn't say who she's related to. Many people believe that she's called a certain woman so we can insert ourselves in the same situation that she had a need. It says this lady had an issue of blood for 12 long years. And she probably was considered unclean according to Levitical law. If you look in Leviticus, you can start to see some of these, but she had a blood condition. And when she would go into the public, she would have to say, unclean, unclean, and tell everyone, hey, I'm sick. It's almost like COVID. I got COVID, and everyone just flees. That's what she had to do. That was her job because she was unclean. And this woman probably had been separated from her family for 12 long years. I couldn't imagine. Me and my wife had only been married for 18 years. But after 6 years of marriage, it's like I couldn't see her for 12 years. I couldn't see my kids. I have a 12-year-old son, and I couldn't see my son for 12 years. I couldn't even imagine the desperate cry in her heart and what she was going through. But I started thinking about how many days that would be. That's 4,383 days. 105,192 hours. 6,311,520 seconds being away from the people you love and care about. Being secluded and all you hear is tick, 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 tick. Every second of the clock being away from everyone, being separated. But the lady, she tried to do everything in her own power. She didn't just sit with this illness or disease, but she went to the doctor, kind of like my wife did. She went to the doctor, and she was seeking out after doctor's help. And it says that she went and tried many doctors. I don't know what many is. I don't have a definition, but I believe it's more than one or two or three. It could be four or five. She was doing everything she knew how to do. In the Word of God, it says that she spent all that she had but grew worse. I don't know about you, but if you spend everything you have and you expect to get something in return. You expect to be better, not worse. If I go to the barber shop and I go tell them I want a haircut and they just cut one hair, I'm going to be pretty upset. I'm not going to feel like I got what I was supposed to get. Probably couldn't even tell they got my hair cut, even though that's what we call it. But she was doing everything she knew to do that was in her own ability. And sometimes in life, you know, we think, like the lady, we can go to the doctor, they'll fix us. Or if I watch a YouTube video, I can figure out, you know, what I need to do. But sometimes we cause a bigger problem and a bigger mess. I've worked on some cars before, and, you know, every time I feel like I get in the car problem and my wife doesn't like it because I always break something that I'm trying to that I wasn't even trying to fix. So sometimes it's better to go to the master, the great physician, and instead of trying the ones that they're going to make mistakes, that are going to cause you problems, but go to him first. I don't know what you got in the need of today, but what if you went to the great physician? What if you went to the master, the king of kings, and instead of causing yourself more problems or getting worse or spending all your money, what if he could take care of it at no charge to you? She made a mistake. It's okay. But something she heard on the streets. She heard that Jesus was passing by. Jesus was not coming to heal her that day. The scripture is very clear that he was headed to Jairus' house. And there was a girl that was sick unto the point of death. And Jesus was walking with Jairus. And he was going to meet Jairus' daughter's need. And he was going to heal her. And Jairus had faith and believed and begged him to come. Sometimes it's okay to be in the right place at the right time. Maybe God showed up in the house today to heal one person or meet the need of someone. Doesn't mean that God can't meet you at your very need. It may not be the perfect timing. It might not be the way that the story is supposed to be written, but I'm telling you, don't miss an opportunity to be in the presence of the Almighty God. When he's here, you better go and try to reach and get everything that you would have for you today. Don't just sit back in the situation. But something encouraged this woman to go. She must have heard some stories about Jesus. She must have heard about something that he had done and believing that if she would just touch but the hem of his garment, that she would be made whole. I don't know what the stories she heard. Maybe she heard how Jesus spoke unto the storm and said, "Peace, be still." And the winds and the waves listened. Or maybe she heard about how Jesus spoke to the man with the withered hand and he said, "Stretch forth thine hand," and it was whole and restored like the other. Maybe she heard about the one that was sick of the palsy and was born of four, and they tore off the roof and laid down the bed where Jesus was, and he forgave their sins and healed him and told him to sin no more. I don't know what she heard, but something encouraged her that she did not want to stay in her current situation anymore, that she was going to go. If she would have stayed home, it would have been easier, but she would still be in the same situation tomorrow. When we close the service tonight in a little bit, I'm going to try to go fast, but I would just challenge you to come. To get out of your seat, to come to an altar. Say, God, I don't want to go back to where I was. I don't want the pains or the struggles, but God, I believe that if I could get in the presence of the Almighty God, that you could meet me at my very need today. 12 years is long enough. You can put your timetable on it. It's long enough. Don't wait another day. I think about some others that were in a situation they had to decide. That enough, it was enough. That they were some lepers sitting at a gate in 2 Kings chapter 7. The situation was bad. They're eating a donkey head for $500 US. Bird droppings for $125 US. There was a famine in the land. And 2 Kings chapter 7 verse 4 says, if we say we will enter into the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here still, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. They didn't have a lot of choices. They said, if we stay here, we're going to die. If we go into the city, we're going to die. But maybe if we fall on the hands of the Syrians, then maybe if they let us live, we'll live. And if they don't, well, we were in the same situation we were at the gate. So we might as well go. And they rose up. And they were able to see God work out a miraculous miracle. And where they were able to get food and nourishment of their day. All because they put into action. They took the step of faith. It's like, we're no longer going to stay here. I'm not going to be where I'm not going to die here, but I'm going to die going. I'm going to go to where there may be help. If there's only a slightest of chances that God is going to work, I'm going to step out in that direction. What else do we have to lose today? Maybe you've been here before and you prayed in the altar and you haven't seen God meet your need yet. What if today was your day? What if this is the day that God wanted a chance encounter with you today? I don't know why God's sending me to French Polynesia, but all I know that I have to go. I don't know why God is maybe going to have a God-inspired idea or a plan for me to reach one or two or three or thousands. I don't know, but God is calling all of us to go. It'd be easier to stay home, but that's not what God would want. And when we come and we come to an altar and when we go to where Jesus is, that's a sign of faith. God, because I can partner with that faith. Oh, they believe that God can heal them today. I can believe, I can partner with that. I can move into their situation. And I go back to the lady with the issue of blood. She came close to where Jesus was. There was no social distancing. Everyone was crowding Jesus. There's so many people hustling and bustling and you know, there's always a multitude going around Jesus. They're all saying, oh, Jesus, pray for me. I don't know what they're saying, but I could imagine. They want to see what the next miracle that Jesus was going to do. They wanted to see what God was going to do in someone's life, or maybe they wanted him to move out. But whatever the case may be, Jesus, they're calling upon him. And they wanted to be there. So it's this lady. She says, you know what? I'm in a place where I'm not supposed to be. I'm not allowed to be here. But I'm going to push through some things. I'm going to press through some things. And I made it up in my mind that I'm not going to stay here where I used to be. But I'm going to get into the presence of the Almighty King. I'm not going to leave here the same way that I've came, but I'm going to get into the presence of the Almighty God. She said, I'm not going to sit back and watch someone else get healed. I don't want to hear other stories of other people that's been touched, but I want what he has for me. And I see this lady, she's pushing in, and she's crawling. I'm assuming, I don't have all the details, but I could see that she's crawling on her hands and knees. And I would crawl on my hands and knees, but I'm afraid that I won't be able to get back up. So I'll stay on my feet tonight. But she's crawling, and she just but touch. It didn't say she grabbed a whole fist of his garment. It didn't say that she hung on to his garment and he dragged her along. It just says, but she just but touch the hem. And if you know what the hem is, it's just the very bottom part of the garment. And I see, it says in the scriptures, it says, and the issue of her blood was dried up, and she was healed of that plague. It said, immediately Jesus, knowing virtue had gone out of him. And you know what Jesus says? He looks around and says, hey, who touched me? Hey, who touched me? And the disciple says, Jesus, are you losing your mind? There's a multitude of people around you. What do you mean, who touched you? No, someone touched with purpose. Someone touched where virtue had flown out of his body that had touched her. And all of a sudden, this woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what she had done, because she's not allowed to even be there, fell down and told him and said, I'm so sorry. And she starts telling him all the things that she had done and how she probably was not even allowed to be there. And you know what Jesus responded to her? Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of the plague. One of my favorite parts of that scripture is he says, daughter. At the very beginning, when we started explaining about this story, they say a certain woman with the issue of blood. But now, just a few verses down the road, it says, daughter. I'm telling you, she is now not a nobody. There's a lot of certain people. You know, those certain people are there, or there's certain people that go here, or a certain. But now, when I talked about my daughter, she's an heir to everything that I have. She's no longer no one to anyone, but she's now an heir to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and she had direct access to her heavenly Father. That she anything that he has, that she had an opportunity to call upon him. I don't know what you're facing today, but don't give up. You've waited too long. Hang in there. Stay faithful and consistent. Keep seeking after God. Don't magnify your problem, but magnify your God. Because many times we say, oh, I don't know if God can do it. We say bad words, and we know the C word, you know, the thing where there's hospitals that treat these people, and we say, oh, I've never seen God heal someone of this, or I've never seen God heal someone of that, and I don't know, and we start talking about it. We bring it more life, and we start bringing it so big. We focus on the problem. But what if we turn our head and look to the hills which cometh our help? Our help cometh from the Lord. Because when we start to see that he is the omnipresent God, that he's bigger than any problem, he's bigger than any situation in our life, that he can truly take care of anything. I'm telling you, don't bring your problem bigger than your God, because God is bigger and he's greater and he's able to work in your life today. He hasn't brought you this far just to leave you today, but he is here for you and he's working for all things together, for the good that serve him. I don't know what the enemy would tell you today. The enemy would tell you to stay in your pew today. As I come to a close, and I'd ask the praise team, the musicians, to come. I heard someone say it, the devil is a liar. Whose report are you going to believe? I remember that old song, I will believe in the report of the Lord. His power hasn't changed. His sovereignty hasn't changed. His ability to heal you hasn't changed. His ability to bless you hasn't changed. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. All the earth is his and the fullness thereof. Nothing is too hard for our God today. I don't know what you have need of, but God, he is touched by our needs. In Hebrews chapter 4, if we would just stand, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 and 16, it says, seeing that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, that we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, and let that we may obtain mercy. It says that we must come boldly to the throne of grace, that we would obtain mercy and find the grace to help in the time of need. It didn't say he was going to come to us, but it said that we must come boldly to him. He's moved and touched by our situations. He knows what you have need of today. He knows the issues of life and the situations that you're facing today. As I come to a close, I'll just share a quick testimony. We were in Fiji, and we started doing Bible quizzing in Fiji, and we decided that they asked us to grow the ministry to another district, and it stretched us financially, but we went into another side of the island that was too far for us to travel back and forth to where we're staying, and it took some funds out of our accounts, but you know what? We come back, we start teaching, we're excited, and I come back to the hotel I was staying at, and little Nora crawls into her mom's lap, and she starts twitching. My wife starts looking at me, she's like, is the baby asleep? I said, I can't tell if she's sleeping. She looks to her oldest daughter, she said, Maddie, is the baby sleeping? She says, no, Mom. She's just staring out. And all of a sudden, my wife flips the baby over. White as a ghost, blue lips. Couldn't find her breathing. My wife starts giving her rescue breaths right there. And we didn't know what to do. We're screaming for help. And it just seemed like so much going on. And asking for an ambulance and all these things. And calling people and praying and calling out upon the name of the Lord. Squad never shows up. We end up having to take a taxi. My wife and the two girls took a taxi with the hotel staff. The little Prius I couldn't fit. So me and my son, we follow behind. And we go to the hospital. But on the way to the hospital, it felt like eternity. I'm in a car. I don't know what's going on with my baby girl. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know what was going to turn out, but I just started calling upon the name of God. When you have a situation in your life and you know what to speak to, it's a little bit easier. I didn't even know what to pray, Pastor. But the Bible says when you don't know what to say, and I'm praying everything I could. But the Word of God says you can pray in an unknown tongue. That it can start to make intercession for you. That it started to work. I was just trying to reach the throne of God. That if I could just but touch the hem of his garment, that my baby would be healed. That she would be okay. And I get to the hospital. Then we show up. And it's not a hospital. It's a room with curtains. You can't even stay overnight in this building. And the baby, she's still not making any sound for nearly over an hour. Jesus. I don't know what the world does when they don't have anywhere else to turn to, but I'm thankful that I have someone I can turn to in the time of need and the time of trouble. They started taking her temperature and they gave her checked her blood pressure, and just a few minutes after that, they don't know what's going on. They put a little oxygen sensor on her hand. No sound. When that oxygen sensor came on her finger, a baby's cry. That baby of mine, little Nora, the first 3 months of her life, she just cried and cried and cried. It was probably nails on a chalkboard for me. I literally told my wife, I said, honey, if she keeps crying, I don't think I can be a missionary. I'm losing my mind. And I was like, there's no way. Oh. If you're a mom or if you've ever been in a labor delivery room and you hear a cry of a baby, you know everything's going to be all right. You know there's life that's coming back into that baby. You know that everything's okay. And I started believing and I started speaking out in faith. I said, God, I believe it. You're healing her. You're touching her. And just a few hours later, that baby girl of mine, she acted like nothing had happened. And then that next day, I'm up all night, Pastor. I probably kept her up all night. I had my hand in her face. I want to see if she's breathing. I'm putting my hand on her lungs in the middle of the night. She never sleeps in her bed. She's in her bed, and I probably woke her up more than she woke me up. And I'm just worried to death. I was supposed to preach in a church in the area, and I'd end up going and preaching. But, oh, man, I don't even know what I preached. But I was sitting on the pulpit, behind the pulpit. I see my baby girl just lifting her hands. She started praising God. A body that had no life, the body that had no breath just a few hours ago, that she started doing what she was created to do, that she was reaching up. It just made me think that she was just but touching the hem of his garment, that God was working in her life. I don't know what you have need of today, but I would say, why don't you do something different today? Why don't you reach out and touch the hem of his garment? See him meet you at your very need tonight.